بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 31st of December in the year 2020 thus this is the last night of the solar year so we pray to almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgives us our many failings and also have mercy upon those who passed away in this year of the pandemic. Amen. Amen. And we moved on to the 25th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told Sa'ad ibn Ubadah to give the flag to his son Qais, but then later through Sa'ad's plea, the flag was taken of Qais and given to another companion when they entered Makkah. In another flawless report, in Sahih Muslim, number 1780, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ascended Mount Safa. Then the Ansar approached and they circulated Safa. Thereupon Abu Sufyan approached and said, the blood of the Quraysh has been annihilated. There is no Quraysh after today. Upon this, Rasulullah reiterated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. Whoever puts down his weapon is safe. And whoever locks their door is also safe. So when our beloved messenger entered Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 10,000 sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala, all the Makkans were basically in three places of safety. They were around the Kaaba where they were safe. They were inside their own dwellings and they were safe there. And they were also safe in Abu Sufyan's dwelling radiyallahu. So Abu Sufyan himself, when he sees all these non-Qurayshis entering Makkah and he sees them performing the Sa'i, he gets fearful again. He goes, the blood of the Quraysh is wasted. But the Prophet put him at ease and he reiterated those three places of safety. Imam Nawawi, he commented, rahmatullah alayh, in Sharh Sahih Muslim 12-127, this was a form of softening the heart of Abu Sufyan, as well as showing his position and nobility. So the Prophet not only said, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe, he was doing that to soften, to give honor to Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. So now people don't understand this. They say, well, if you enter your own house, you are safe. So where's the honor with Abu Sufyan? If anybody enters their own dwelling in Makkah, they're safe. So what is the honor for Abu Sufyan if you enter his house? And the response is, you need to know the geography. When you enter Makkah and you exit Makkah, there was two dwellings you came to. The first dwelling was Abu Sufyan ibn Harb's. And when you exit, you come through to the exit, the dwelling of Hakim ibn Hizam. So the Prophet was basically saying that whoever enters Makkah, i.e. the first port of refuge, is Abu Sufyan's dwelling, radiyallahu. And of course, Hakim ibn Hizam on the other side. So it was to do with the geography. But the Prophet was saying that to honor Abu Sufyan, i.e. to comfort him. In another report it mentions, Urwa rahmatullah alayhi said, when Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu saw so many faces he didn't recognize, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have given preference to these people over your own. He replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the result of your people's actions. These people believed in me when you called me a liar. And it was they who assisted me when your people expelled me. Oh, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. So this is recorded in Tabarani, Bayhaqi, volume 9, page 119, Fath al-Bari, volume 8, page 4, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 6, page 173, Comments upon the Chain of Narrators, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 309 of the New English Translation. So Abu Sufyan was basically saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were born in Makkah, you are resident of Makkah, and you've given preference to all these non-Qurayshis. Why have you preferred them over us, your own family? So what a strange thing to say. So the Prophet said, because of you. He goes, because of what you did to me. He goes, these people believe me, you call me a liar. They help me, you were doing the opposite. So it's not me doing this to you, you've done it to yourselves. So no, the Prophet was, reasoning with Abu Sufyan as well, saying, look, this is nothing personal, you've done it to yourself. It was not long thereafter that the holy Kaaba was finally purified of the useless and filthy idols around it. And the unbelieving Quraysh now all stood at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fearing the worst for all the atrocious crimes they had committed over the years. So they've all entered. So now who's at the mercy of the Muslims? The Quraysh. Could they argue anything against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If he gave an order, they're all dead. Nobody could stop it. If he had given the order, he was justified. Right, because they were trying to kill him, they expelled him, blood is on their hands. So they are now totally at the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For around 17 to 18 years, the leaders of the Quraysh ruthlessly persecuted the believers. And even when they had migrated, they were not left alone. They had thereupon confiscated the wealth that the believers had left behind and then had launched war after war with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calumniating in the martyrdoms of many of his family and companions, radiyallahu ta'ala. Now these same war crimes or war criminals were at his mercy. So what were they thinking? They were expecting the worst. Because some of us are definitely going to get killed. Whether it's all of us or a few of us. And we're going to be, belittled. Our beloved Messenger thereupon looked at the humble Quraysh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and asked, what do you think I will now do with you? Subhanallah, despite all the atrocities they had committed, they knew deep in their hearts there was no one more generous and kind of heart than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus they said with hope, you are a noble brother, the son of a noble brother, and now you have power over us. So look at the way they're doing it. They're trying to basically hope in the Prophet, my God, is he my forgiveness? Because you are a noble brother, son of a noble brother, you have power over us. Our beloved Messenger thereupon uttered his immortal words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I now say what my brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam said, and he recited Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 12 verse 92. Audhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. No reproach on you this day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. And He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. He thereupon said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Go, for you are now the freed ones. Subhanallah. So this is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad 2-11, Ibn Ishaq 4-55, Tabari in his Tariq 3-60, Hafiz Waqidi in his Al-Maghazi 2-86. So look at how amazing this is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the most eloquent. And whenever Quran was appropriate, he would recite the Quran. And what better time to reiterate the words of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam than now. So now you need to go to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's narrative. When did he say these words? So if you look at the beautiful narrative of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, some 2000 years before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his brothers, they had initially thought of killing him. But then they decided, no, we'll just get rid of him. They put him into a well, and then the narrative, he was brought out, he was sold as a slave, and he was then sent to Egypt. And then for 40 years, he was away from his family. But he became a slave. Then a woman tried to seduce him, Zulaykha radiallahu anha, when he grew into manhood. He was then accused innocently of trying to seduce his master's wife. He was put into prison innocently. He spent 8 years in prison, innocent. Then he came out of prison. Eventually, Allah Ta'ala gave him honor. He became the chief wazir of the king. And then what happened? The brothers who had caused all this harm to him, they now were going through a famine. So their father said, you need to go to Egypt. There's a just king there and he's giving food. So the brothers went not knowing that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who's actually in charge of the grain. So when he actually saw them, they didn't recognize him. And then to cut a long narrative short, they then eventually came the second time. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told them who he was. And they were shocked. He goes, are you Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? He goes, yes. And he goes, and this is my brother Binyamin radiyallahu. And he goes, call our father Yaqub, who had gone, he'd become blind due to his grief for his son. And then when Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam came, what did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam say to his brothers? These words. He says, La tathdiba alaykum al-yawm yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. No reproach on you this day. May Allah Ta'ala forgive you. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. So basically, only a prophet could do that. He was completely innocent. He went through 40 years of separation from his family. He forgave them. No questions asked. And then he says, but Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful. Look how humble the prophets are. He goes, I've shown this great act of kindness, but don't forget. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاهِمِينَ. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. So he forgave who? His brothers. Now let's go 2000 plus years into the future after Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. How were the Quraysh related to the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Family. Right? So were they not his brothers, his uncle's sons, his aunt's sons? So wasn't this the perfect time? The Quraysh were now at his mercy, his family. And he said, I'm going to say to you what my brother Yusuf said, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he said this, he then told all his family, Adhabu fa antum at-tulaqa. Go, you are all the freed ones. They were given a title, tulaqa. Tulaqa means you are all free. That was a title given to all those who were freed by the Prophet when Makkah fell. Hence the title at-tulaqa of those who embraced Islam thereafter from the Quraysh. So who's amongst the at-tulaqa? Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, right? Suhail ibn Amr, Hakim ibn Hizam, all of these, Ikrimah ibn Abu Jahl, right? They all are the freed ones because of this title the Prophet gave them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, upon this most magnanimous gesture, most of the Quraysh rushed to embrace the glorious truth. Subhanallah, the mother city was now back in the hands of the true believers. So think about it, that's when idols finally were destroyed around the holy Kaaba. And what a memorable day it was that Makkah fell in this peaceful way. The Prophet didn't want any bloodshed. Allah Ta'ala granted him this. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, what's the best way to sum up the conquest of Makkah? The glorious conquest of Makkah can best be summed up with what our beloved messenger recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that memorable and most awesome day. As he was knocking down the 300 or so idols, either with his staff or by merely pointing to them around the Kaaba, Abdullah ibn Masud said he was reciting when he was doing this. He was pointing to the idols that were falling miraculously, or he hit them with the idol, and he recited these verses: "Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Wa qul jaa al-haq wa zahaq al-batil." إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. And say, truth has arrived and falsehood has perished. Indeed, falsehood by its nature is bound to perish. Subhanallah. And say, truth has arrived and falsehood has perished. Indeed, falsehood is by its nature bound to perish. This is in Sahih Bukhari. Sahih Muslim number 4625, Nasai Tirmidhi, Tabarani, Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban, Sahih. So picture this here. As the Prophet enters Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he enter? That's interesting. He didn't enter with his chest, blessed chest, protruding as a victor. He entered with his blessed head almost touching the neck of the camel. He was in ruku or sujood. And he was reciting Surah Al-Fath, i.e. the victory. Why was he reciting that surah? Because that was revealed to the Prophet after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when they were returning. And Umar thought, Ya Rasulullah, why have you signed this treaty? And then on the way back, Allah revealed Surah Al-Fath. And then he called Umar, recited the whole Surah to him. And Umar goes, is it a victory, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, yes. So he was reciting that Surah, saying, look, only the other year Allah revealed this Surah. Meaning he promised his victory. Within a year, look, Makkah's fallen. So he was reciting that Surah as he was entering Makkah, saying, look how quickly Allah Ta'ala fulfills his promises. So when he entered, he was entering with humility. Compare that to the Bani Israel, when they entered the city. Right? They said, Astaghfirullah, you saw the Baqarah, with arrogance they entered the city. And then they were destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala likes humility. And notice the Prophet was in his right to show, to show strength. But he didn't. He showed humility to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then what happened? When he was doing the tawaf, his idols. So he was on a camel. So obviously the idols, he's knocking down with his staff. But sometimes he just pointed. So imagine, they'd see his finger, then the idol would fall. Miracles. Who were knocking those idols down? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as he was doing this, he was reciting this verse. And where is this verse? Surah Isra. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Say, truth has arrived, falsehood has perished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكَ Verily, falsehood is bound to perish. Now why is this very significant? Because the Bani Israel, they stopped coming to the Kaaba because of idols. They goes, we know it's a holy place. We know the prophets came to the Kaaba to perform pilgrimage. But it's idols. So why haven't they been back? For the last 1,400 years, there's no idols now. You understand? So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, وَقُلْ جَعَ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ So it's not just the idolaters. He goes, where's the Bani Israel now? There's no idols there now. Do they go to the Kaaba Sharif? To this day they don't go. Right? So note, Allah Ta'ala was saying, this is a very significant sign. And which surah was revealed upon the conquest of Makkah? The surah we all know. إِذَا جَعَ Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَعِيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا The rough translation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory comes, fath, when Allah ta'ala's help and victory comes, and you see mankind embracing Islam in crowds, then celebrate the praise of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. He is ever disposed to mercy. This surah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said in Sahih Bukhari, was a sign that the Prophet's death was now near. Because Umar radiyallahu anhu asked, what does this surah mean? So some of the companions kept quiet. Others said, they translated it. And Ibn Abbas said, no. This surah is saying the Prophet's death is near. Why? Because Makkah has fallen. And people are embracing Islam now. And he only lived a few years after that. So that surah, yes, we're happy Makkah fell, but it's also tinged with sadness. Because the Prophet almost is now being told, prepare for death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the mother city had fallen to him peacefully. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What other things happened in Makkah at the time? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously he's back home. His home. So everywhere he's looking, he's been reminded of his home. So the Ansar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they were getting hurt. So they were looking at the Prophet ﷺ and they were thinking, and then they were whispering to each other, the love of his home has entered his heart. The love of the town has entered his heart. All of a sudden, the Prophet ﷺ receives revelation, turns down to the Ansar. He goes, did you say, the love of the town has entered my heart? So the Ansar goes, Ya Rasulullah, we didn't mean anything bad by that. We just thought that maybe you're going to stay here now because Makkah has fallen. You're going to leave us. So the Prophet said, how can that be, O Ansar? I migrated to you. I will live with you and I will die with you. Subhanallah. And then the Ansar wept. Radiyallahu ta'ala. So look at the love the Ansar had for the Prophet. They were thinking he's going to stay. Because why? He was forced out of Makkah. We all know how much he loves Makkah. Makkah's fallen. Maybe now he's going to say, look, Ansar, thank you very much. You know, I'll see you every now and again. Right? He goes, no, I'm leaving Makkah to go back with you. So this shows the intense love he had for the Ansar. And who was the chief of the Ansar at the time? Sa'ad ibn Ubad. Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh already in Jannat al-Firdaws, right? So note the Ansar's love for the Prophet and the Prophet did say to them, Allah Ta'ala has accepted your excuse. When they said, we didn't mean anything bad by that, Ya Rasulullah, we just meant that we thought you were going to stay. And the Prophet goes, Allah Ta'ala has accepted your excuse. In other words, you're telling the truth. And look how miraculous it was. They were whispering it to each other. And imagine the Prophet is at distance, he turns around. Who said that? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala knows what people are saying in their hearts or whispering to each other. So Makkah was a most memorable day. And also where the idols were purified, who were watching from behind closed doors? The unbelieving Quraysh. And when they saw the idols knocked and the tawaf being performed all night by the Sahaba in gratitude, then Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu turns to his wife Hind and he goes, was it for this that we were opposing Muhammad? In other words, what were we fighting him for? He goes, look, he's honoring the Kaaba. Right? And then, you know, the libel came on. And then what happened was, Hind embraced Islam, the women then came. And don't forget, Hind had chewed the liver of Hamza, radiallahu. So she goes, shall I go to the Prophet? And Abu Sufyan goes, anybody who goes to him, he forgives. So she was fully covered, and she came, and it was the women's pledge. The Prophet never touched the hands of the women. And then when he saw the hand of Hind, he goes, why do I see the hand of a beast? Because they should have henna on. And the Prophet also, the indication there was this hand, you know, chewed the liver of Hamza, radiallahu. And the Prophet forgave. He's just forgiving everybody, left, right and center. Even the one who chewed his uncle's liver. Sayyid Hind, radiallahu. So not unbelievable what he was doing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was he doing this? Because in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah the Almighty and Glory has said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the most honorable servant in my sight is the one who has power over somebody and he forgives. Because that is the most honorable servant in my sight. He said that to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So when you've got authority, you can do full damage. And you turn around, you go, I've forgiven you. The Prophet said, Allah Ta'ala said, this is the most honorable servant. Who's the most classic example of that? Our beloved messenger. He didn't forgive one person. He forgave an entire tribe of the atrocities they committed against him. So not Makkah fell. And there's other things, but you can ask me after. So all I mentioned today was basically the fall of the holy city of Makkah and some of the key points which are mentioned. I will mention this. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he was now a Muslim, he embraced Islam. But there were some diehards, and they were Muslim. They pretended to be Muslim. So he knew who they were, and he sat between them. And they were sitting around the Kaaba, and the Prophet is doing tawaf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he's listening to his two friends. And then Bilal climbs the Kaaba. The Prophet goes to Bilal, go and climb the Kaaba, do azan on top of the Kaaba. So Bilal radiallahu anhu climbs onto the top of the Kaaba, does the azan. So the two men next to Abu Sufyan, they started choking. Right? One of them went, oh, what a disgrace. He goes, our slave climbs the Kaaba. He goes, our father was so fortunate not to see this disgraceful scene. Then the other man next to Abu Sufyan, he said similar words. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, I'm saying nothing. Because these pebbles will tell Rasulullah. So meanwhile, the Prophet is doing tawaf. He comes down. He sees the three men, he stops. And he said to Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, you're right, the pebbles did tell me. Right? So the two men, they embrace Islam. They go, Ashwallah, ilaha illallah, Ashwanda Muhammad Rasul. So people were embracing Islam left, right, and center. And some others, they thought, this is the best time to stab him. Imagine some of the Quraysh, because when he's not concentrating, we'll stab him. So one of the men had a dagger and he was doing tawaf and he's maneuvering himself behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he's got his dagger. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just stops and turns around. He goes, what were you intending to do? So the man goes, tawaf. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then put his hand on his heart. Did Ya Allah put iman into his heart? And the man goes, soon as his hand left, he goes, I could feel iman entering my heart. And there was nobody more beloved to me than Muhammad. So there was you know, they weren't all Muslims. Some were trying to give it him, some were doing this and that. They were all embracing Islam, left, right, and center. So Allah Ta'ala was protecting him. And he didn't say to them, he didn't say to the gods, get him. He would try to assassinate me. He even forgave that person. He not only forgave him, he made dua for him. Right? So note, and why was Bilal told to climb onto the top of the Kaaba? The reason was, we don't worship the Kaaba. Even to this day, some fruitcakes, they go, oh, do you worship that cube? Why do you all prostrate to that cube? And then we say, we don't prostrate to that cube. Oh, you're all doing it, left, right, and center. I see you on TV. And he goes, that's the direction of our prayer. And he goes, no, but you worship that cube. Then you say, well, which idol have you seen where a man stands on top of it? He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, there was a man called Bilal. You might have heard of him, right? He stood on top of that god. And he was making azan. So why was he standing on top of an idol? Do you worship that? So the Prophet's wisdom. So people knew that we weren't worshipping the stone. There was the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So note, all of this was again to show the beauty of what was happening on that auspicious day. And many of them, of course, embraced Islam. There was a few people who were killed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so and so, even if he's clinging to the Kaaba, he's to be killed. A few were killed, and their crimes were enormous. And if you look into it, you realize why the Prophet gave those orders. But he forgave even some of them as well when they asked protection from certain people, like Uthman's foster brother, Abdullah ibn Abi Salh. He asked Uthman to help him, and Uthman brought him to the Prophet, and the Prophet forgave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وذي بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان شاء الله في خصر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم